You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride Rapid Reaction Show. I am Steven Serna, joined as always by my guy, Rocky Magania, Kramer Sansone in the background, helping us keep this thing moving, Rocky. Back-to-back Super Bowl champions, Mecole Hardman, walk-off touchdown for the Kansas City Chiefs.
That was overtime, overtime, walk-off win. Our down year is better than your best year, Nepo baby, Kyle Shanahan, folding in the second half yet again, calls a timeout to get the defensive play call he wants in, and it doesn't matter. Why? Because you have Patrick effing LeVon effing Mahomes at quarterback who refuses to lose in the second half, who refuses to lose in overtime, who says, F it, I'll do it all. I'll do it myself. You need a big play? I'll do it myself. This is a dynasty. Dynasty, you want to talk about dynasty talk? You want to talk about win a real ring, Mahomes? That's what the Niners fans said after LIV. Say something now, Niners fans. Why? Because you got the calls and you still came up short. The Kansas City Chiefs, raise another banner. We are the Super Bowl world champions back to back. First time in 20 years. You've never seen a team like this one, baby.
This is unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Man. We'll get to the entire game. Let me catch my breath for a second here, because this was the most stressed out I've ever been during a football game in my entire life.
I say it all the time. Mike Tyson says everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. The Chiefs got punched in the face. They were down on the mat on Christmas Day, and a lot of teams don't get back up after that. They stay down. And the Chiefs said, you know what? Everything we want is still in front of us. We didn't believe them. I didn't believe them. They said, everything we want is still in front of us, and we can still achieve our goals this year. And we said, okay, get up off. We were like Mick in the corner of a Rocky movie. Get up, you bum. Like, get up off the mat and show us that you have that championship spirit. Show us that you have what it takes to run it back and finish this effing thing off. And bam, oh my God, Steven Serna, it wasn't a perfect game, but it was good enough to win another little party, hang another banner in Arrowhead, and put another ring on everybody's finger. Oh, my flipping God, Steven Serna. Chiefs are Super Bowl champions.
We'll get it. We got plenty to get to, obviously. And we'll have plenty of coverage for you on arrowheadpride.com, so make sure you head over there. Check out everything as we talk through this dynasty, this Kansas City Chiefs dynasty. My hair is a mess. I'm a wreck. I'm falling apart over here, but now we're celebrating, Rocky. 25-22 overtime Super Bowl. For the life of me, I wish the Kansas City Chiefs could play a normal bleeping Super Bowl so I don't have a heart attack. I am stressed out. I am a total mess right now. I haven't had a drink of alcohol since Christmas, and I feel like that's going to change tonight. But at least it's a celebration. At least it's a celebration across Kansas City. Man, there's so much to talk about in this game. There's so much to break down. But man, that walk-off touchdown to Mecole Hardman is just, you can't script it better. Like, how poetic is that? The two biggest plays of the game, really, like the explosive to Mecole Hardman early in the game. I know that doesn't end in a score. It ends in a fumble, but then he gets the walk-off touchdown, Mecole Hardman, and they pointed out, like, too, oh, Hardman's isolated one-on-one by himself up there on the top of the screen on the broadcast, and you see Mahomes roll out, and we've seen the Chiefs run that play for a touchdown 1,000 times, Rocky. Like, that was Andy Reid just reaching down and saying, I got this. We're going to win the Super Bowl, baby. And that's exactly what they did, and it wasn't, man. It was not perfect. It was extremely frustrating. It was flawed in all kinds of ways. But that's this Kansas City Chiefs team. And no matter what, Rocky, I think this is going to be my favorite Super Bowl season of all time. Because this team, in the first half, this team looked like they had no business being in a Super Bowl. And they come back and win it. They force overtime. They fight through everything. San Francisco was tremendous tonight. Their defense was spectacular tonight, but it wasn't enough because Patrick Mahomes is inevitable. Patrick Mahomes is a living legend who has now won his third Super Bowl ring, completed the back-to-back, completed the dynasty, and the Kansas City Chiefs are champions once again.
Oh, my God. And you how else would you want it then? 2 minutes to go in regular time, down three, in order to send it to overtime, then putting the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hand. Like, what are you doing? Putting the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hand with 2 minutes left to go, you know, down three. And then you give him 5 minutes. You give him 5 minutes in overtime. What are you doing taking the ball first? I know your defense is tired, but you're going to let Patrick Mahomes know what's in front of him, like what he has to do in order to win the Super Bowl. You better be damn sure you're going to go down and score a touchdown if you're taking the ball first in front of Patrick Mahomes. Because if you go down and get three and you say, okay, Mahomes, here's 5 minutes on a platter, all you got to do is go down and score a touchdown and you win the Super Bowl. What? What? Well, are you kidding me?
But yeah, with you say timeouts, that, Rocky, and the faith that you have in Patrick Mahomes, like I want to believe that. But this team has had so many red zone issues, and the red zone issues popped up again tonight. But I totally agree with you. When the 49ers had to settle for that field goal in overtime, you were like, it's over. You can't do that against this dude. It doesn't matter who's out there playing wide receiver for him. He's going to go out there and make the plays that he has to. Fourth and one conversion, third and one conversion, two legendary runs from Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce, nice little shuffle pass, fighting for yards to get you down near the goal line. And then Mecole Hardman finishes it off. It's just, what an unreal season. Taylor Swift, everybody celebrating. Everybody is a Kansas City Chiefs fan right now, except for the people that are 49ers fans. What an unbelievable run, man. I am a mess right now.
Listen, Bill Plaschke said he was sick and tired of the Kansas City Chiefs in the LA Times.
Oh, Bill Plaschke.
Well, guess what, Bill? Suck it. You got to deal with us for another year. You said you're tired of Mahomes. You're tired of Taylor Swift and Kelce. You're tired of the Chiefs fans being racist. Blah, blah, blah. You know what? Suck it, Bill, because we're the champions again. Listen, this wasn't the best team that the Chiefs have ever had. This might be the worst of the three Super Bowl winning teams. It has the best defense, but this might be the worst team. But Mahomes is playing his best ball
on offense.
And it doesn't matter in a one game winner take all. Like I wrote this on the site in my prediction for this game. I said talent matters in the regular season. Over the course of an 18-week season, talent definitely wins out. But in a winner-take-all Super Bowl game, experience is what matters. Everything takes longer. Everything is more intense. Everything is do or die. And there is nothing that can substitute the experience of winning it and knowing what it takes to win. The Chiefs were locked in. They didn't play locked in today, but they were locked in all week on the mission at hand, and it kept them determined and it kept them steadfast in the second half. I think they had a great halftime. They didn't come out and play great after halftime, let's be honest, but they went into halftime shook. Like you have Kelce on the sidelines pushing Reed and people jawing at each other. And it was a rough first half of football to watch, but you know, two things about Chiefs versus 49ers in the Super Bowl. One thing is the Chiefs are going to come back. The second thing is, Kyle Shanahan's going to lose. Kyle Shanahan will not win a Super Bowl. He goes into halftime with the lead. He won't win a Super Bowl, period. Why? Because when the going gets tough, the guy who had his career handed to him folds. And I don't care. I don't care if you think the 49ers played a great game. I don't think you know what? Guess what? Second half, Kyle Shanahan abandoned the run. If the 49ers run the ball consistently to start the second half, they're probably not even in overtime. Kyle Shanahan carries the L around his shoulders on this. I don't want to talk about Kyle Shanahan because the Chiefs just won the Super Bowl, and I'm a damn Chiefs fan. But let's just face it. Like, the coaching, our defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, was light years better than Steve Wilks tonight. And Andy Reid was better than Kyle Shanahan. like, you, like, just look at the game winning play. Like, how do you ever watch Chiefs film, and you let this rollout pass to the flats happen? Like literally, that is the pass that they threw to Tyreek Hill to get the pick up the first down to beat the Cleveland Browns in the playoffs like 3 years ago.
We've seen
how many times have we seen that play?
1,000 times for the Chiefs over the years. I mean, this is going back to the Alex Smith days. Like, that is a very common play in the Chiefs red zone offense. And they felt confident enough. We got this. We are going to roll that out there. Not only that, we're going to do it to Mecole Hardman. And Mecole Hardman and Marquez Valdes-Scantling are the Chiefs' two touchdown scorers in the Super Bowl. Would you have thought the Chiefs are going to win a Super Bowl? They're going to win their second straight, third ring of the Patrick Mahomes era and complete a dynasty in one of the greatest runs in NFL history that we are seeing them in the middle of right now. And it was going to be on the back of Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Mecole Hardman making two of the biggest plays of the game. Like, this team isn't real, Rocky. This team isn't real.
Listen, shout out to Daddy Magana, because he took a 300-1 Mahomes 36 yards rushing and a Mecole Hardman anytime TD bet at 300-1 for today's game. He just hit on that. I believe I had an MVS touchdown.
I haven't looked at my bets. I don't like looking at them during the game because it's just one other thing that stresses me out. I want to sit and watch the game and freak out and go insane on my own without having to worry about what's going on with my gambling. But man, so let's get into the offense. We'll get into the defense because I've got a lot of thoughts on this defense. And man, it's so amazing that they got this ring this year. Because we've talked about this defense all season long. This is a championship caliber defense, and they got there and they did it all again. And they did it in large part because of the performance from the defense. So I do not want that to get lost in all of this. But as we have already talked about, the Chiefs could get nothing going in the first half. It was an ugly first half offensively. Travis Kelce, yes, kind of bumping Andy Reid. Patrick Mahomes is frustrated. They lose that fumble deep in the 49ers territory where it seemed like they were going to score after a big play to Mecole Hardman. And, you know, somehow they managed to go into the locker room only down by 7 points. And it's because of the defense. So we'll get to the offense. Let's talk about the defense and how impressive they were tonight, because I think if you could say one thing about the 49ers tonight on offense, at least, I think that Brock Purdy had a nice game. Like, Brock Purdy did not have a bad game. I thought he made some throws. I thought he was really staring down some pressure at times. And it felt like the Chiefs' pressure was always just a little too late. Like, they were getting there, and Chris Jones was affecting Purdy passes, and we saw that impact the game multiple times. But they just couldn't quite get there. They couldn't quite hit him. They couldn't quite really put the pressure on him in a way that it was drastically affecting him. So credit to Brock Purdy tonight. But at the end of the day, the Chiefs defense and Steve Spagnuolo were just tremendous. And that's why I'm so happy they got it done, man, because for as frustrating as this season was, as down as everybody was on the Kansas City Chiefs all year long, we've been coming on this post-game show each and every week and saying this defense is good enough to get you there and to help you win it all. And the Chiefs defense did that tonight, because if the Chiefs defense was not so stellar against this incredible group of pass catchers, like, George Kittle did nothing tonight. Deebo Samuel did nothing tonight. Brandon Ayuk had a few big catches, but like, they totally shut them down, and CMC kind of did what he did. And you live with that from Christian McCaffrey if you're not getting explosives from everybody else. And that just goes to speak about this defense and the secondary and everything they did. Trent McDuffie was incredible. If it wasn't for Mahomes having such a big second half and going over 300 yards and getting the game-winning touchdown and whatever, like, Trent McDuffie has a strong case for Super Bowl MVP with the way he played tonight. I know he got called for that holding penalty. Whatever. I'm not focusing on that. Trent McDuffie played like the all-pro corner that he is tonight. He was absolutely tremendous. He was a game changer for the Chiefs secondary.
Trent McDuffie was all over the field. Trent McDuffie played, he was stuck as glue to the receivers, and his body positioning, he was perfect. He looked back, he put his arm up, he went like 3 tip passes. Like Trent McDuffie was the best defender on the field today. And I say that, and I say that for either team. Like, I know that that Bosa was blowing up and getting in Pat's face. Nobody played like Trent McDuffie did today out there. Like the man definitely should have been in talks for Super Bowl MVP if it hadn't been for Pat. But oh my gosh, just even like George Karloftis, he played out of his mind today, just getting pressure after pressure George after pressure. Leo Chenal came up in situations, right? Like he was just like he was just playing downhill and just disrupting play after play. And it was just not giving up on the ball. Yeah, you see right there, Karloftis falling on the fumble. Like Karloftis was relentless. He was relentless, but he was in control. Like, how many times did you see George Karloftis in this game break through and Purdy started to roll out? And instead of just going after the sack, he instead changed directions and to play containment to keep Purdy in front of him to make him make a bad pass. Like, going into halftime, you had a feeling that the Chiefs had the 49ers offense figured out a little bit, and they felt like they were going to be able to contain them and limit them, which they did. They held them to field goals when they had to and gave them a chance. And then when they did get in the end zone, they blocked the point after. Oh my God, what a huge play blocking the point after was. But I said in the AP Premier newsletter this week, I said with McCaffrey, you got to make him a one-dimensional player. Like, he's going to beat you one way or the other. Choose which way he's going to beat you. He can't beat you both ways. And for the most part, he didn't beat them through the air tonight. He had a couple of catches, but most of his damage was on the ground tonight. And I think the Chiefs said, okay, listen, we're going to take you away in the passing game. You're going to beat us on the ground, and we're going to live with that, because we're also going to take away Kittle, and we're going to take away Debo, and we're going to do our best with Ayuk. And then if Juwan Jennings throws a fluke touchdown when there's a guy 10 yards downfield illegally, and if he makes some big plays and some big catches, and he's the one who wins you the Super Bowl, then we're going to go into the offseason living with the fact that we got beat by Juwan Jennings. But we don't think Juwan Jennings is going to do enough to beat us, right? And so, I mean, Justin Reed played a great game, Steven.
I think Juwan Jennings really is a free agent. Nice football player, if you ask me.
Real nice football player. Oh, my gosh. He looks good in red. We know that already. There's not enough you could say about this defense the entire season. And that's the whole thing. It's, yeah, you have your all pros, you have your Chris Joneses, you have your Legarius Sneeds, you have your Trent McDuffies, you got a guy in George Karloftis who was a double digit sack guy. But your role players, your Leo Chenals, your Mike Edwards, your Drew Tranquils, your Chamari Connors, your Joshua Williamses, like all those guys stepped up all season long and played football. You went this entire season without a single weak link on this defense. That's including when you lost Derek Nnadi. You lost Charles Omenihu coming in this game. And who do you call up? Super Bowl hero, Chiefs Super Bowl great Mike Pinnell was awesome. He was awesome in run defense. Oh my gosh. Big man, big plays, big moments. Mike, big game Pinnell getting another ring with the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, put him in the ring of honor for dear God, Steven Sorter. Put every guy in his defense in the ring of honor, and put a Steve Spagnuolo statue outside of this stadium next to Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. There should be three statues in front of Arrowhead someday, and it should be those three men.
So the Chiefs strategy seemingly was, and you know, Kyle Shanahan said earlier this week, like, I want to run the ball 30 plus times in this game, and I want to, you know, dominate on the ground and do all of that stuff. Christian McCaffrey finishes with 22 carries for 80 yards, also has 8 receptions for 80 yards and a touchdown. Like, Christian McCaffrey had 160 combined yards himself, but then all of these other incredible weapons for the San Francisco 49ers. Brandon Ayuk, 3 catches, 49 yards. Juwan Jennings had 4 for 42 and a touchdown, which that's a big game for Juwan Jennings. Debo Samuel, 3 receptions, 33 yards. George Kittle, 2 receptions for 4 yards. Like, it seems like the Chiefs' strategy was, yeah, I mean, CMC is the guy that we're supposed to key on, but CMC is going to get his yards. Like, what we can't live with is CMC having like 200 combined yards and multiple touchdowns. But we're going to live with him making some plays here and there, and we're going to trust our secondary to man up these wide receivers and man up these pass catchers. And we're going to trust the pass rush to get there and at least affect Purdy enough that we're going to make it hell for him to throw the football to those guys. And the Chiefs did that tonight. Like they were blitzing, and the blitzing was effective at times, but they still didn't quite just get there and finish Purdy off at times like you want to see them do, like we've seen this defensive line do. And maybe that some of that's Charles Omenihu not being there because he's been so effective in the postseason. But like you mentioned, George Karlaftis played his ass off tonight. George was in on multiple plays, flying around the field. Like George had a tremendous performance, and Chiefs fans should be so excited about his potential moving forward and the huge step that he took this season. And then Chris Jones affected the game multiple times and affected Brock Purdy passing multiple times. And then key third down call late in the game, Spags blitzes the hell out of Brock Purdy. And who's there to swat the pass? Trent McDuffie, like he has all season long, because he's one of the best blitzing cornerbacks in the NFL, along with Legarius Sneed. And like I already mentioned, Trent McDuffie had a case for Super Bowl MVP in this one because he was tremendous all night long. Sneed had his moments too. The Chiefs secondary was great. And for the most part too, Rocky, we talked about it all week. Like this 49ers team, they live on the yak. Like they break tackles and they create explosive plays, and they've done that all season long. And you have to tackle and you have to wrap them up. The Chiefs did an amazing job of that all night. You know, the CMC play was a weird one because Juwan Jennings throwback, and he's able to break a tackle and take off to the end zone. But other than that, that was it. That was it tonight. The Chiefs finished tackles all night long. You didn't see the 49ers breaking tackles and ripping off huge gains all night. There was Chiefs all around every ball carrier, every time they threw the ball or ran the ball. And that just speaks to how tremendous this defense, man. And it's why this is going to be my favorite Chiefs season of all time, even though it was the most frustrating for me, because that defense is so special. And I don't know if the defense is ever going to be as special as it was this season. It didn't get the credit that it deserved for whatever reason all year, but they were the best defense in football. And now they got another ring to celebrate how incredible they were this season.
Yeah. And with going to Brock Purdy, like here's the thing about Brock Purdy. He is great at moving outside of the pocket and extending the play. If you get into Brock Purdy's body, he doesn't have his feet underneath him when he throws the ball. His arm is not strong enough to make those throws. If he's trying to throw it while he's being hit, or he doesn't have his feet underneath him. You saw multiple times today, like he overthrew a guy, or his pass was just off because the Chiefs were in his body, putting hands on him, or they were pushing him off platform just a little bit. And listen, when you got a guy who's Brock Purdy's size, who you drafted that late in the draft, and you're trying to win a Super Bowl with him, you're going to have to live with that. But the Chiefs knew, listen, we don't even have to sack Brock Purdy. Like, there was an old Mina Kimes podcast where she had Coach Vass on there talking about blitzing out of the nickel, out of big nickel. And he was like, you don't have to sack the quarterback. That's not the goal. The goal is to get him off platform and make him uncomfortable into making bad throws. And that's exactly what the Chiefs did today. Like that was their game plan. They said, listen, if Brock Purdy doesn't get his feet underneath him, he's going to flutter the ball. Then maybe we might get an interception, but he's not going to be able to put the ball on his guys as accurately as he wants to. And you saw that to start the second half. You saw that late in the first half when the Chiefs kind of started to figure him out a little bit. And so, I mean, I just thought that was awesome. And then the big thing that you talked about, aside from the fluke trick play where Christian McCaffrey broke a tackle and took it to the house, the Chiefs weren't giving up the big play. Like they'll give up 10 yards, they'll give up 12 yards, they'll give up 5 yards, but they're going to make it hard and grueling. And you're going to have to put together long sustained drives against them to put in the end zone. And then when the spacing starts to get smaller in the red zone and they have those coverage guys, and they have that run defense just enough to put you into a third and long situation where you can't run the ball in the red zone, then they're going to hold you to 3 points, which is what we saw them do today. The Chiefs played awesome bend but don't break defense in this game, and they got enough stops, and they affected Purdy enough, and they stopped CMC enough to give the offense as many chances as it needed to get enough points. Like that's what it was. The story of this game is the defense playing so good that it gave the offense the number of chances that it needed to slowly build up enough points to win the game. Cause this wasn't like a lights out performance by the offense. We know this. They turned the ball over in the red zone. Mahomes had a really bad interception in this game, But it didn't matter because this defense said, okay, that's cool. Because guess what? We're going to keep this game. We're keeping this game close. They're not going to blow it open. We're not going to crumble. We're gassed. We're gassed in the second half. You can see it late in the second half. This team was holding on for dear life, but they held on for a field goal in overtime for dear life. And that was everything. That was everything. Stopping them for a field goal was everything. Blocking that point after attempt was everything. It was the little things that they had to do to give this offense a chance to go out there and win the game. And they like you heard Eric Bieniemy used to say, you have to strain for every inch and find a way to pull your ass across the finish line. And that's exactly what this team did. That's exactly what this Chiefs defense did in this game. And my God, I'm with you. This is my favorite season. I was never so out on a team, and I was wrong. I doubted this team. I said this team doesn't have what it takes to win four games in a row in the playoffs. This team doesn't have what it takes to go on a run that it's going to take to win the Super Bowl in a winner-take-all situation. And I forgot about Dre, Steven Serta. I'll admit it. I forgot about Andy Reid. I forgot about Patrick Mahomes. I forgot about Steve Spagnuolo. I forgot that they're an NBA team, that they are the Golden State Warriors. Or no, they're not even the Golden State Warriors. I've been saying that the Chiefs are an NBA team. They're that Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili Spurs team, right? They're that veteran team that knows how to win in the playoffs. It's just going to do enough every game. And at the end of the season, you do enough times in a row, you're holding it. Effing Lombardi Trophy for the second straight year.
Back-to-back Super Bowls for the Kansas City Chiefs. Somehow, Patrick Mahomes has trailed by 10 points or more in every Super Bowl he's ever played in. Still managed to win 3 out of 4 in his 6 years.
Can he just come out of the gates hot? Can he just come out hot in one Super Bowl?
Just come out of the gates hot, Pat. Can we get one blowout? Like, there's a case to be made that both of these Super Bowls, these back-to-back Super Bowl titles for the Kansas City Chiefs, are two of the best Super Bowls that we've ever seen. And it's unbelievable that they've actually won both of those games. Patrick Mahomes is 6 years as a starter, 3-time Super Bowl champion, 3-time Super Bowl MVP, 2-time NFL MVP, 3-time All-Pro, 6 Pro Bowls. Like, it just, the greatness goes on and on and on. And Rocky, like, it's indisputable. Now, like, we're at a point with Patrick Mahomes where we're talking about a level of greatness in the NFL that we have never, ever seen before. And yeah, I know some Patriots fans out there will hate that and probably think, like, what are you talking about? Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. Yeah, he is right now. But what Patrick Mahomes has done to start his career is unprecedented. There's never been anyone like him. There's never been anyone who out of the gate is dominating the hardest sports in the country to consistently dominate this way. There's never been anybody who it game-winning drive in the Super Bowl in overtime, you're like, it's over. You gave the ball to that guy with time left, and all he's got to do is go get 6, and it's over, and the game's over. Like, he is the modern-day Michael Jordan of the NFL, and we've never seen anything like him. Like, I don't even... it's going to take me a while to really process this season, because this season was the most unlikely of them all. And they still wound up back there. They still gave us an incredible game, an incredibly frustrating game. And I'm going to be exhausted tonight. I am run down right now. But man, what a tremendous performance. And I want to talk about the 49ers defense a little bit and what they were doing to affect the Chiefs so much on offense. This is something we talked about a little bit during the game. I thought so. Steve Wilks, I agree with you. You said earlier, like, Steve Wilks is not in the same class as like Steve Spagnuolo as a defensive coordinator. I totally agree with that. But the 49ers did change some things up a little bit tonight to affect the Chiefs. So credit to the 49ers for that. But at the end of the day, I think it was more the 49ers, which they have got a bunch of stars on the defensive side of the ball too. Their stars were showing up and making plays. Fred Warner was playing absolutely out of his mind tonight for the 49ers defense. Nick Bosa was tremendous tonight. Chase Young even had some impact plays. Eric Armstead, who hasn't really looked like the same player this year, battling through injuries all season long, had a tremendous night as well. Like, their stars played well on the defensive side of the ball for a majority of the night, and we kept seeing it over and over again. When they were getting pressure on Mahomes, what he likes to do so much is, like, step up, cut to the outside, and look to run or make a play downfield. And they were just cutting that lane off from him altogether and saying, you're not going there. You're not going to move up in the pocket and then cut to the sideline. If you want to find space, you got to move backwards. They were doing that to him all night long. And then the Chiefs finally gave Mahomes some quick routes, some crossers over the middle of the field where he could just get the ball out quick and let the guys make some plays. And we saw Travis Kelce do that. We saw Rashee Rice do that a couple of times for some big catches. Like, the adjustments that the Chiefs made in the second half were the difference in this game. And they finally gave Patrick Mahomes some breathing room that he simply just did not have in the first half, because the 49ers pass rush was winning. Like, the offensive line, which has been so good throughout the postseason, was really having issues tonight. And the Chiefs figured it out in the second half, and they were able to finally start moving the ball. And at the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes is inevitable, and he's got another Super Bowl ring.
Oh my God. Like you had an Isaiah Pacheco out there that was really struggling to get yards. Like the 49ers front four was just dominating the Chiefs offensive line, especially in the run game. Isaiah Pacheco had nowhere to run the ball. They knew it was coming. They were coming up like just a yard short, 2 yards short on every single play, right? And yet you saw it at the end of the game. They said, okay, we're not going to put the ball in anybody's hands but Mahomes, right? On that running play, you know, was that the fourth down? They ran the ball with Mahomes. They weren't going to do anything except for put the ball in Mahomes' hands to win this game on offense. And it wasn't perfect. I mean, yes, Pacheco fumbled the ball. Then you have Mahomes' interception, like I mentioned before. And what the 49ers wanted to do was bring, especially late in the second half, they wanted to run cover zero and try to light up Mahomes. And you got to sit there and think to yourself, especially in overtime, like, you don't blitz Patrick Mahomes. Like, he's seen too much football at this point. He knows too much about the game. He sees it coming, right? And that's why Kyle Shanahan eventually called that timeout and said, when they were showing cover zero again, and he was like, no, Steve, we're not running cover zero here because he's gonna blow us up, you know? And the 49ers have awesome defenders, Fred Warner, Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa, right? They're all over the field. And you saw this against the Ravens also. Their stars played super, super good, right, in this game. But Patrick Mahomes knows where those guys are. He knows where they're at on the field. He can feel Bosa coming. He knows where Fred Warner is going to be. He's going to look off Fred Warner to get just enough space, right? And Travis Kelce is going to go inside leverage to switch to outside leverage, right, late in the second half or in overtime for that big game. And it's just these guys have seen so much football in such big game situations that even if other stars play lights out and play their best football and other coaches call their best games, they're just on another level. Like, they're like Neo in the Matrix, just stopping a bullet, looking at it and tossing it aside at this point. And Patriots fans are going to say, you're right. Yeah. We're comparing him against Brady at this point, until he has 6 Super Bowl rings. You know, he's not the same. Fine. If that's the only person you can compare Patrick Mahomes against and say, well, he's not Tom Brady yet. Okay, well, guess what? He's better than Joe Montana. He's better than Troy Aikman. He's better than Peyton Manning. He's better than Dan Marino. He's better than Johnny Unitas. He's better than Fran Tarkenton. He's better than Terry Bradshaw. He's better than any other guy you try to find. You say that he's not as good as yet as one other guy, and that is debatable. Right. And at that point, like, you're just comparing. I heard somebody say this week. You're comparing Tiger Woods to Jack Nicklaus at that point. Right. Okay, fine. Tiger didn't have the same number of Masters as Jack Nicklaus did early in his career. But you watched Tiger Woods play in that 5 to 6 year window, and you said, this is the best golfer that's ever played. Like, this guy can come back from 8 strokes down on the back 9 and win a Masters. Like, this is the best golfer that's ever played golf. And this is you watch Mahomes in this situation and throughout his entire career, and you say this was his worst year, but he probably played his best football, right? This was his worst statistical year, but he was the smartest quarterback he's ever been, and he elevated his team to a higher level than he's ever had to do before. And this guy is better at football than any other quarterback who's ever played the game. Like Tom Brady awesome. Awesome. He has 6 Super Bowl rings. You can't debate it. But Mahomes is better. Mahomes is better. Watch him play football. Mahomes is better. He doesn't have the rings yet because he hasn't played long enough. And will his body hold up? Will he have the longevity? We don't know. I'm not a prognosticator. But I'm telling you right now, today, Mahomes' best is better than Brady's best. And that's a fact. And there is no argument.
And, like, they're such different players. Like, there's just things Patrick Mahomes does that Tom Brady couldn't do. Like, Tom Brady is, like, during his time, was the most clutch player in NFL history. And now Mahomes is making a run for that title. And the only thing he's got to do is catch up to him in rings, which, when you think about it, like, in the different versions of Patrick Mahomes that we have seen and the way that he has grown and adapted as a player over the last several years, like, okay, you need me to be a game manager? I can do that, and I'll be the best one in the NFL. Okay, you want me to be a gunslinger? I can do that too, and I'll be the best one in the NFL. Okay, you want me to just focus on intermediate stuff and lean into a running game? I can do that as well, and I'll do that better than anybody else in the NFL. There's no version of quarterback that he is incapable of playing and not doing it at a better level than everyone else in the NFL, aside from, like, running, because Lamar Jackson is the best rushing quarterback that I've ever seen, and that, like, includes Michael Vick. So, like, that's the only version of him that you could say, like, he's not definitively the best at in any version of the of that we have seen of Patrick Mahomes so far in his career. And, you know, headed into an offseason, I don't want to think too much about that tonight because I want to celebrate everything about this team. But they've got a lot of question marks on the defensive side of the ball. So this team could look different again next season, but you have to imagine the offense is going to get better. They learned their lesson this season. They're going to try to invest there a little bit more and see what they can do. We'll see how all of that stuff unfolds this offseason. But this team is champions once again, and they did it again in a different way. It seems like they've done it in different ways every single time, and the only time they weren't able to get it over the hump, it took their offensive line totally falling apart in the postseason. Like, I just don't know that I've seen anything quite like what the Chiefs have done in this run. And there's all the stats and everything that Patrick Mahomes has put together so far during his time in the NFL. And I think this is definitively the greatest run that any one franchise has ever been on right now. And we're in the middle of it, Rocky. We're all celebrating it as Chiefs fans tonight. And man, it's insane. We're sitting here again, year after year, Rocky, sitting here celebrating Super Bowl champions.
I've been watching football a long time. I don't think I've ever seen a team go from where they were on Christmas Day to winning the Super Bowl in as short a period of time as this Chiefs team did. Like, literally, they were beating themselves all year long. And Reed just said, okay, the people who are beating the players that are beating themselves, we're just not going to feature them. We're just not going to stop featuring the guys that beat themselves. And we're going to stop beating ourselves. We're going to rely on our defense. And then we're going to go and make a run at this thing and see if we can finish it off. We've never seen a team go from playing that kind of up and down, beat yourself, drop passes, lining up offsides to lose a game against the Buffalo Bills, get ran out of the stadium against the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, like, you've never seen a team go from where they were at that point to pick themselves back up. Like you want to talk about heart, you want to talk about guts, you want to talk about huevos of steel and intestinal fortitude and everything else. Like there was not a moment in this game where you thought the Chiefs were out of it. You thought the Chiefs were in danger of folding because they've taken the shots. Every shot, like they took, like they came out against Miami and they ran them out of this. They ran Miami out of the stadium in the blistering cold and they hardened themselves. Then they went into Buffalo, had snowballs thrown at them, cuss words hurled at them, just a nasty environment, and they walked out of there with a victory in an extremely hostile environment. Then they go into Baltimore, and Baltimore comes out running out every single one of their Hall of Famers and their greatness, and they're all hyped up, dancing on the sidelines, and just this electric, just kind of trying to bully you, late hit, dirty plays type of environment, trying to see how soft you are, to see if you're tough enough to come out of there. And the Chiefs just went through it all. I mean, we're talking, they just took the blows and they kept moving forward. You know, there's a quote by Rocky Balboa in the movie Rocky Balboa, and he says, "In life, it's not about how hard you can hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward." That's this Chiefs team in the season, in the playoffs, in this game. They came out and they got hit a couple of times, and they kept moving forward, and they moved forward, and they moved forward, and they moved forward, until finally it was the overtime, and Mecole Hardman was in the end zone holding the football, throwing it in the air, being hugged by Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce going like this, Chiefs Rookie of the Year, Taylor Swift being tackled by Blake Lively up in the suite, Mama Kelce crying, Jay-Z looking pissed off with Beyonce. I mean, oh my God, like there, you couldn't write it better than this. Got hats off to the script writers for the NFL this year. You deserve an Oscar or an Emmy. I don't know which it qualifies for, a Golden Globe, but you couldn't have written a better story for this season, Steven. And it was just good enough. And that's all it had to be.
Unreal season. And, you know, remembering back to the Mecole Hardman trade and like, oh, that's what they're doing at the trade deadline. They need a real wide receiver. They go out and just get Mecole Hardman. It's like, man, the postseason can cover up all of the mistakes in the regular season. We've seen it happen for MVS, who, again, had a crucial moments in this postseason run for the Kansas City Chiefs. And they just completed the toughest postseason run in NFL history, according to DVOA, by beating the San Francisco 49ers 25-22 in a Super Bowl overtime. And then Mecole Hardman seals it with the game-winning touchdown. Just unreal run for the Kansas City Chiefs to go back-to-back. Patrick Mahomes wins his third ring in his short NFL career, and the Kansas City Chiefs are champions once again. Just unreal.
We'd be remiss if we didn't get out of here and say that this one is for Derek Thomas, 58, and for Norma Hunt.
Yes.
They went out there and they won it. God bless them. God rest their souls. They went out there and won it for the two most important people in Chiefs Kingdom.
Yes, absolutely. I want to remind you guys also, we'll have all the post-game press conferences available for you immediately after the commercial break if you're listening to us on the podcast page, so stick around for those. I'm sure you guys will want to hear from your champion Kansas City Chiefs, but let's get to some comments before we get out of here and try to go celebrate another ring for the Chiefs. From Pete, my hat goes off to our defense all year. Tonight, they kept us in the game all night. The defense played with so much damn heart. Another 24-point and under game. Historic. Pat, GOAT. Yeah. I mean, we kind of knew it from day one, Rocky. Like, we've been talking about it all year long, and for whatever reason, this defense just did not get the same respect that other defenses in the NFL got. They've been the best defense in football all year. I know all the metrics say it was the Baltimore Ravens or the Cleveland Browns, but the Chiefs were right there in the mix. And when you have Patrick Mahomes, then you watch how good this defense was and how skilled this defense was and how young this defense was. Like, this defense has a chance to be special, and they got a lot of young talent too. You mentioned Leo Chanel, who had an incredible second season for the Chiefs, is a role player who just had so many huge moments for them and came up and made big plays and was such a big part of, you know, of that kind of pass rusher rotation, linebacker rotation this season. Drew Tranquil, obviously a guy that's not going to get a lot of publicity, but was one of the biggest free agent signings for the Kansas City Chiefs this offseason. Charles Omenihu, Jamari Connor. Like, Jamari Connor might be the best safety on the team, Rocky. he was a role player for them, and he's a fourth-round draft pick who wasn't really projected to be anything more than a special teams player, and Jamari Connor might be the most talented safety they have on the roster. He was great again tonight and great throughout the playoffs whenever he got onto the football field, which is a lot more than I think any of us anticipated. Mike Edwards, another great offseason free agent signing who came in when Brian Cook went down and played a huge role for the Kansas City Chiefs. Justin Reed had his moments. Willie Gay, Nick Bolton had their moments. Like, the defensive line was tremendous in all the steps that they took forward this year. We even saw Felix get into the Super Bowl and have an impact play tonight. Like, that's just how good and young this Chiefs defense is. And you have to imagine they're going to revamp the offense a little bit, retool in the offseason, and try to make sure they come back next season more effective than they were this season. But at this point, we know how good they are and how much better they're playing than the rest of the NFL at this moment. And that's why they're champions again, because they can kind of go through these regular seasons and test things out and tweak things and fine tune things for the postseason so that they have their best stuff come the playoffs. And their best stuff, again, was better than everybody else's stuff.
The thing that we're not talking about is hats off to Brett Veach for building this roster and for building this defense and for nailing it in the draft and in free agency. And remember, we used to talk about how Steve Spagnuolo was allergic to playing young defenders, right? Like, that used to be the thing. Steve Spagnuolo doesn't like playing young defenders. He doesn't trust them, yada, yada, yada. Brett Veach said, well, guess what, Steve? You don't have a choice. And I think that it was the best thing that ever happened to Steve Spagnuolo, because it forced him to unearth that teacher within him, and which is really, really, he is such a great teacher of football. And it unearthed a whole other level within him that I think that he had almost forgot was even in there, because he'd been relying on veterans for so long. And so Brett Veach, awesome job building this roster. Steve Spagnuolo, awesome job coaching these guys up, this young defense. And like, everybody should have seen it coming. This defense won the Super Bowl last year with all those rookies. You think they weren't going to come back and be the best unit in football when they had that much experience that early on? And then whatever you're paying Andy Reid, triple it. Like, he was up for a raise. There is no salary cap for coaches. Whatever you're paying Andy Reid's not enough. Like, triple it, quadruple it, whatever you got to do. Keep Reid in the house for as long as humanly possible until he goes on to the Lord above. I want him to coach until his dying day.
Well, I haven't seen any notifications yet that say Andy Reid's retiring, but I'm sure it'll get brought up again next season, because that's just something we do every year now with the Chiefs head coach. But he adds to his legacy as well, picking up another Super Bowl ring tonight and another just masterful performance by the Chiefs in the second half. And on the offensive side of the ball, they finally get things going. And in that final drive, they were perfect. And it just seemed like there was nothing keeping them out of the end zone. They finish it off once again. Kramer, do we have any more comments before we get out of here and wrap this thing up? From David, we're repeat champs, baby. Yeah, we are. Back to back. First time in 20 years. Chiefs took the hardest path possible through the postseason to get there. And they went through the gauntlet, no bye this time, no number one seed in the AFC, on the road throughout the postseason, and they get it done once again. They are the best team in the NFL.
Listen, when you're the toughest dog out there in the streets, it doesn't matter if they throw all the other tough dogs against you, because you're the toughest. And there's not a tougher team out there than the Chiefs. There's not a tougher out than the Chiefs. The Chiefs proved. They say the Chiefs had the hardest road. No, whoever went against the Chiefs had the hardest road. Every one of those teams had the hardest road, because they didn't win. They lost to the Super Bowl champions. The repeating Kansas City Chiefs, the future, hopefully, three-peating Kansas City Chiefs was better than running it back. Three-peat, baby. It's going to be the talk of the entire offseason now, and it's the expectation, and if they do it, God bless them. I don't want to look that far ahead, though. I just want to enjoy this one.
We got plenty of time to get to NFL draft talk and to get to the offseason. Let's enjoy this a little bit. I think the last comment said, when's the Super Bowl parade? They're typically on Wednesday. I believe they have always been on Wednesday, so I would assume that's not going to change. I don't know if they've officially announced that yet or not, but it's always been on Wednesday, so this will be the third time. So I'd make sure you try to get Wednesday off if you want to go to another Super Bowl parade for the Kansas City Chiefs. Go Chiefs all the way from London. That's from Tanisha. Woo! Yeah, well, we got friends. Hopefully you're a part of Arrowhead Abroad with our friends Brad and Tom from the Great British Chief Show. I know they're celebrating. I'm sure they're going to have a very late night tonight in the UK. But, man, another ring for the Kansas City Chiefs. Rocky, any final thoughts on this team before we get out of here, before we go celebrate? What was one of the most frustrating seasons of my life covering the NFL? But one of the most fun years, and one of the years that I'm going to cherish the most, and I will remember forever, the chaos of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, the offense looking non-functional midway through the season, and then them finally finding a way, Kadarius Toney being inactive in the Super Bowl, like all of its wins. We're just keep winning over here, Rocky.
I think I'm just so grateful for Chiefs Kingdom and for Arrowhead Pride and for you and for our show and for Kramer and the back behind the glass and just for the opportunity that we get to cover this team and get to do this show and do these post games and cover these Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs that we as a duo in these post games have now covered two Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs teams. And I have so much fun doing this with you. I have so much fun doing this with you, Chiefs Kingdom. And I don't take for granted even 1 second of this, because this is the greatest thing in the world. And I am just, what do they say? Hashtag blessed, hashtag forever blessed. And oh God, we're Super Bowl champs. Like, what else is there to say? This is the greatest thing ever. This is every dream you've ever had all coming true all at once.
Yeah. Unreal run, unreal season. This is one that I am going to remember for a long time. Love you, Rocky. Love you, Kramer. I would bring Kramer up to the stage where he's wearing a Raiders shirt, and I feel like we don't need to do that on Super Bowl victory tonight. You could have worn anything else, Kramer.
Come
just
on.
To wear on Super Bowl night, you're rocking a Raiders shirt, really. But
Kramer's just salty because we beat them in his own house. Like, how great that we won the Super Bowl at the Raiders stadium. Do you see how pissed off Mark Davis was just really quick when they were talking about the Chiefs using their facilities? He was like, oh, they earned it, I guess. Like, he was like so pissed off that the Chiefs were going to win a Super Bowl in his house. And that makes it all the sweeter. Oh my God.
It's after the Chiefs failed to complete the back-to-back a few years ago. Like, it's hard to not to overlook how special this is. Like, them being able to do it for the first time in 20 years, it's almost impossible in the modern day NFL. There's so many good football teams out there. There's so many talented players and coaches across the league. But the Chiefs are once again atop the league. They are champions of the world. They are the best team in the NFL with the best player in the world and the best coach in the game right now. Just unreal run. Again, if you listen to us on the podcast page, we'll have all the post-game press conferences for you after the commercial break. So make sure you stick around for that. As always, please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review everything that we are doing right here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. I better get some Super Bowl 5-star reviews, because you guys have been slacking a little bit throughout the postseason. So I want to see some Super Bowl 5-stars come the next edition of the Arrowhead Pride Editor Show. You can follow Rocky on Twitter at Rocky Magani. You can follow Kramer at Kramer Talks. I'm Steven Sertz, where you can find me. We'll be back tomorrow morning with another edition of the Arrowhead Pride Report. We'll have our full lineup of shows coming up this week on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, so be on the lookout for all of that. We're going to wrap up the season before we turn the page to NFL draft content and start focusing on the guys that we want to see added to the Chiefs roster as they look to go for 3 in a row coming up next season. But we're not quite ready to get there. We're celebrating another Super Bowl championship tonight in Kansas City. Have fun, celebrate, be safe, don't drink and drive. Enjoy this one. They don't come around very often. We'll talk to you guys soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride Rapid Reaction Show. Again, the Kansas City Chiefs take down the San Francisco 49ers 25-22 in overtime to win their second straight Super Bowl title, finishing off what we all know is a Kansas City Chiefs dynasty. After the game, we heard from head coach Andy Reid, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, and tight end Travis Kelce. Here's the Chiefs head coach.
Our dog to work for us, so, yeah. How challenging was this year to pack? How did you see him adapt?
I loved what he did. So we struggled, and a lot of it was drops, a lot of it was penalties, and then Rasheed was growing, and he was getting better every week. Once that took place, and we eliminated those things, or at least minimized them, better things happen, and it's great to have Rasheed opposite Kels. It's tough to double Kels when you have that guy that can kind of work inside the numbers there along with him, and you know, that's a territory that Pat loves to strike. So it's you know, it worked out well. Yeah. Yeah, he caught me off balance. I wasn't watching. Cheap shot, but that's all right. He did good. He was really coming over, just put me in, I'll score, you know, so that's really what it was. Well, I love that. I mean, it's not the first time, so I appreciate him.
Right here. Go ahead. Louder.
Yes. Yeah, listen, he's a phenomenal football coach. And so, you know, he just has a great feel for it. He's got good staff and he's got good players to go along with it. Most of all, he's a great teacher. So that when you have young guys like we've had, that whole staff has done a great job of teaching, but he leads the parade on that. So he, what a heck of a year. Sure. Yeah, well, that's the value of Mike Frazier. I mean, he does a great job with that. And so, there's two ways you can go with it. You can either kick it off or you can receive it. And I'm not sure there's a right answer necessarily. Ours was ended up being the right one, but that easily could have gone the other way. So, that's what we felt was the right thing to do. I'm never going to question Kyle because he's brilliant. And that was just something that we chose, and through our studies, we felt was important. Yeah, I think you guys can appreciate him. You get to see him, what he is. I mean, there's no facade there. He's he comes to work every day, humble, wanting to be great, challenges the guys around him to be great every play, and never flinches. You drop the ball, we'll get the next one. Or listen, I need you in this spot right here. It's not like chewing them out or any of that bit. And likewise with the penalties. Okay, well, let's keep our hands tighter. Let's not grab. So, you know, but he's that's the way he operates. A pleasure to coach. Absolute pleasure to coach. Yeah, we had them called for a couple more, and it just didn't work out. They doubled them early. And then we came back to them in the second half and had them rub off of people, you know, so kind of do combination routes, a couple were with Rasheed and then with MVS. So, you know, we were able to get him. We know we need to get him the ball. We need to get Pacheco the ball. And then four of the ball, so Rice the ball. So, and we were struggling on first downs. We weren't doing very good on first downs. It was all over the place at first. And we're going backwards, actually. So that's not good against a team like this. Yeah, so those things... just the working combination routes, and we were able to get him into space and away from any possible double teams. So that's what took place. Yeah.
Four more, right here, coach. I'm sure this feeling never gets old.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, this is a tough profession, which we all know, competitive. I mean, the parity in this league is ridiculous. And so to watch your guys work and focus and all that. I mean, you just appreciate, I think the older you get, you probably appreciate that also. I mean, I appreciate the first one because it took me 1,000 years to get the, you know, get into a Super Bowl. So, but, and at least be able to hold that Lombardi trophy. So, I appreciate every day that I have to do this. I work for a great owner and ownership family. And, you know, between Mark Donovan, Veach, and myself, we're lucky to be Kansas City Chiefs. And so that part feels good. And then we have a good locker room and we have good coaches. All the day. So I get it. I mean, listen, I have five kids, so I get how that goes. The part I love is he loves to play the game, and he wants to help his team win. I mean, it's not a selfish thing. That's not what it is, and I understand that. And so as much as, you know, he bumps into me, I get after him, and we understand that. He just caught me off balance.
He led.
Yeah,
so what makes the
whole tick
as a player?
Yeah, well, he was cut, and we brought him back. And that's a tough thing. That's tough to handle mentally. And he came in with a positive attitude and just said, hey, I just want to help you guys win. And we kind of know what he does best. And, you know, Nagy does a great job of putting him in positions, and really he's got that mastered with that kid, where to put him and how to use him. So you saw that. You saw it tonight. Yeah.
Last three, Vegas.
Thank you.
I used to come
from the Yeah, well, I thought we had something there that was good. Now, sometimes you've got to evaluate it. So if the other team's been out there a long time and they've had a long drive, you kind of look at the guys and you go, listen, we might want to just keep this thing going and not give them a rest, the other team a rest. And so as long as you have something good in the pocket there. So we felt we did. And, you know, we thought we had them kind of thinking there a little bit, and it worked out okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I didn't say a whole lot, just keep going. Halftime, it was, we're right there. It feels, when you're in the Super Bowl, you're down by 7 points, it feels like 20. And so you got to just kind of calm it down, and we're right there. We're getting the ball to start the second half, and everybody just hang with each other, and good things can happen. So, and that was kind of the message. The guys were saying that. Three of them talked the night before, Kels, Chris, and Pat, and they did a great job of communicating that. You know, it's a brotherhood. Stick together. You know, we're playing a good football team. There are going to be highs and lows in this thing. Just hang together, and good things will happen. And that's what they did.
Last one, Charles.
Yep, aren't you?
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't had time to think about it, but yeah, sure. Huh?
All right.
I mean, I get asked that, so, you know, I'm mad at Belichick and Pete because now I get asked all those questions. All right.
I can't even explain what was going through my mind. I was just extreme joy. Didn't even know where to go. But it's so exciting, man. I'm so proud of the team, so proud of the guys, and to battle to the very end. I mean, that was the microcosm of our season. I said it. And everybody came together and we were able to get the win. Yeah, 100%. I mean, battling through the adversity that we battled through this year, and guys staying with the process, keeping believing. You never know how it's going to happen, and to be able to go play three great teams to get to this game and play another great team and win all those games, it was a true road in the playoffs, and we were able to come through and be Super Bowl champs.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's culture, man. I got brought into this culture. Alex Smith was leading this team. They had the pieces in place, and Coach Reed was the ultimate leader. And I got brought in, and I just kind of try to exemplify that and keep pushing to be even better. And that's why in moments like this, we had guys come through, and it truly is special. It really is special just to be able to say we're back-to-back champs. Yeah, I mean, I hope people remember not only the greatness that we have on the field, but the way that we've done it. I mean, I feel like we enjoy it every single day. We have fun. We play hard. And it's not always pretty, but we just continue to fight to the very end. And I know you get fatigue of the team sometimes, of one team winning. But we try to enjoy it and just enjoy the moment that we have together and enjoy just kind of what we can do every single day to bring the best out of each other. I don't know if it was this week, man. I played with Cole for a long time, man. He's always ready for the moment, and he's someone that continues to practice hard and get better. And obviously, that receiver rotation, we were bouncing around a lot of guys all year long, and those guys just continue to work. And I mean, just like last Super Bowl, man, it's like you never know who it's going to be. It's about everybody being ready for the moment, and he was ready for that moment in a couple of big plays.
Patrick, when you hear Tom and Jerry in the headset, what goes through your mind, and why is the play called?
Yeah, the play call, I think it started because Clyde was the first one to run it, and Trav was the other guy part of it, so it was like Tom and Jerry, you know, that whole thing. That's the concept of the play, and then the motion was the exact same motion that we ran in the Super Bowl last year, and they actually covered it pretty well at first, and then I kind of looked back to them, and that's a little risky always, so I was a little like, hey, let me make sure it's open. But obviously, Coach Reed, man, he knows when to call those plays at the right time. Yeah, that was the play. I mean, calling the timeout, I thought was important for us to go over there and discuss what we wanted in that moment. And we all agreed on that play. I knew before the play, it's more of a man design play slot where Kels kind of comes from behind the line of scrimmage. And I talked to Rasheed about maybe if you can't set the little rub, if you can kind of set up open. And with them being so focused on that, it opened right open for me to run. And I knew I just needed to get a yard. So I actually got down on that one, and we were able to get that first down and keep the drive going. He's one of the best coaches of all time. I believe he's the best coach of all time. I mean, I know he doesn't have the trophies yet, and I have a lot of respect for some of those great coaches. But the way he's able to navigate every single team he has, continue to have success no matter where he's at. And for me, he brings out the best in me because he lets me be me. I think that's important, is he doesn't try to make me anyone else. I don't think I'd be the quarterback that I am if I didn't have Coach Reed being my head coach. Other than that, he wants you to be the best person you can be, and that's something that I think is truly special. Yeah, I think it means more, man. I mean, to be able to battle through that adversity and then come out better on the other side, and I think it prepared us for the playoffs. Obviously, we've had a lot of great playoff runs, but this is going to be up there because just the way that we kind of continue to battle whenever times weren't great. Go
ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to celebrate tonight. I'm going to celebrate at the parade, and then I'm going to do whatever I can to be back in this game next year and try to go for that three-peat. So it's an ongoing thing in the NFL. I think Tom said it best, is once you win that championship and you have those parades and you get those rings, you're not the champ anymore. You have to come back with that same mentality, and I learned from guys like that that have been the greatest of all time at the top of the level. That's my mindset, is I'm going to celebrate with my guys because of how we've done this, but then we're going to work our way to get back to this game next year.
Something special that I'll remember for the rest of my life, and it brings me to tears even thinking about that moment and being here all week with being there all week with them. But what we had to endure with this team, to see guys rise to the occasion, to see guys put stats aside, to see guys just put their heart in every single day and focus every single day for the person next to them. That's something special that I'll not only learn from, but I'll take with me in these memories that will last forever.
Sunday to Sunday, has any couple ever had a better week than Grammys to Super Bowl?
Man, it's on top of the world right now, baby. It's a good feeling.
To see the gold rise to the occasion after he had the struggles in Buffalo and comes back to the team in the middle of the season to see McColl rise there and get that game win.
Man, I couldn't be happy for my guy, man. I'll tell you what, it brought me to tears seeing that he was the man that got us this ring, man. It's, sometimes the media world can be pretty harsh on a guy. I love you, dog. Super Bowl champion, baby.
Three times.
Talk to him. Man, McColl is he's one of my favorite teammates ever. It's because he just keeps showing up, and he keeps trying to find ways to win. Had a huge play for us early on that kind of sparked us, and then on top of that, found a way to win the game for us. When everybody countered him out, even the Jets countered him out, and man, we were so excited when he got back in the building because he's the kind of guy that brings everybody together. He's got that kind of personality.
How'd you get sprung open on that third down right before the end of regulation? Brandon had 11 yards. You're supposed to play there as a long
throw. Wide shallow cross, baby. We knew Fred Warner was gonna play outside leverage on me if it was man, and good thing my old ass can still run.
Travis, people are talking.
Second half, you had a tough first half. What made you come back from third?
Just being accountable for the guys around me. Being accountable for Coach Reed. Knowing that I asked him, put it on me, man. Put it on me when it gets tight, and I live for moments like that. And I love Big Red for giving me those opportunities, and it's a beautiful thing, man. When everything comes together like that, it's a beautiful thing.
People are talking about Giants to you around. How does that feel?
I don't care what people call us. I know I'm back to back, and I won three in whatever years. Y'all can call us a dynasty. You can call us whatever you guys want. I know what we got is something more special than really what you see in the NFL is because the guys in this locker room and the head coach.
So how about talk about your defense?
The other guys, even though the ball wasn't coming to you, like the last play, like you knew it was going to be open there.
As soon as I saw the guys in the flat run with me, I just had a feeling the goal was wide open. And sure enough, man, it was it's an electric feeling knowing that all eyes are on you and somebody else is open. It's just, being accountable and doing the best you can for you guys.
Talk about your defense just by Novo and the job that he did once again in the game.
All year long, that defense was absolutely stellar. And they're the reason why we got to the playoffs. They're the reason why we got through the playoffs to the Super Bowl. And sure enough, when it mattered most, that big-time third-down stop in the goal line catapulted us. It gave the offense no doubt that we were going to go out there and win that game, man.
And when there was 2 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter, the plays on third down, that was huge.
You said it, baby.
Travis, when it comes down to talking about the greatest tight end of all time, how do you see yourself after this third championship?
I know this is one of the greatest teams of all time. To go back-to-back, that's another tier of team. And, all the individual accolades, I don't necessarily not care about them because I do love the legacy of wanting to be the great, want to be as great as I possibly can. But at this point in my career, man, I just enjoy coming into this building because I know I'm closer to not playing than I am going to keep playing, I guess, if you understand what I'm saying. And I just cherish every single moment that I come in with these guys and want to fight for them every single time I go out there on the field.
Mexican and Latino fans that are going crazy right now with your championship.
Thank you guys for all the support. We love you guys. I still been telling Clark Hunt that we should go back down to Mexico City so we can have some more fun with you guys. You guys are amazing.
Travis, you're always a player that's played with a lot of emotion. How have you balanced that, and how does that help you when you are going for a run?
I got the greatest coach this game has ever seen. He's unbelievable at not only dialing up plays and having everybody prepared, but he's one of the best leaders of men that I've ever seen in my life. And he's helped me a lot with that. With channeling that emotion, with channeling that passion, and I owe my entire career to that guy and being able to kind of control how emotional I get. And I just love him, man.